Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed, and welcome to the show. Good morning. It's Wednesday, July 16th. Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. The skies have been overcast the past few days, which is nice, right? It's sort of like ended the extreme heat we've had here for about a week.
But then it gets, like yesterday was so hot at about 2 o'clock.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't seem like it to me.
Where was I at 2 o'clock? I don't know what part of LA I was at 2 o'clock, but I remember just thinking, wow, it's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it has been hot, but I like the cool mornings, you know.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to get started.
And that's how I remember when I moved here last year. I remember it was cold mornings, cold nights, but hot during the day, and I loved it.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't like the overcast.
Yeah.
It reminds me of England.
By the time we leave here, it's going to burn off.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the next hour or so.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to have an interesting guest on the phone in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about, again, like dating, relationships, blah, 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 and
all
cell
our
phones.
Listeners are going to be in couples if they aren't already soon.
Right. I know. That was fun yesterday, huh, with our guests.
It was, and it was very cool.
We were talking a lot about dating and relationships and matchmaking and things like that, so that was interesting.
Matchmaking must be a really fun job.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Although it's not easy either, you know?
Yeah, but you get to make... Like, that just sounds fun.
Yeah, I know.
It just sounds fun.
I know. I could use the dating coach services here, her services. Maybe I'll... I'm thinking of going tomorrow to that love debate.
I think it sounded fun.
It sounds like fun, right?
Yeah.
And it's on tomorrow. The only problem is I'm working tomorrow when it's happening, so... It's not going to happen for me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out like some of those, like we were talking about speed dating and this kind of thing. To me, it sounds amazing. You know, let me go through a few people and, you know.
Right.
Through a lot of people, actually, in about, what, an hour, half an hour or
something. Yeah, definitely.
You know?
And it's only 3 minutes with each person. So as soon as they sit down.
Right. You already
it's
know.
Ultimate
right?
judging.
Yeah.
Speed dating is ultimate judging.
Yeah. It's all first impression, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good. I think it gives you, because first impression is just so important, you know? And I think when we meet people, it's like we form opinions almost immediately.
Oh, definitely.
Almost instantly.
Yeah. So, and even just something like your handshake.
Right.
That's a first impression that, I mean, if I shake a guy's hand and my handshake is stronger than theirs,
right.
Like, really?
Right. Well, how about if they crush your hand or something, right? So those guys are really like...
Yeah, but I would
rough.
Rather that than them be,
yeah, like,
be a really
like
weak
it was,
handshake.
Right?
Yeah. Like my handshake's stronger than yours.
I
how
know.
Is that possible?
And you also want to see where their eyes go to and stuff, you know? If
people
can't look you in the eye too much, we've got a problem there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea and I'm going to check it out. I'm not going to go to a full-on matchmaker. I'm just not that desperate to find a relationship right now.
Right.
You know? But they're saying it's only temporary, but we'll see, you know. I guess it is true, huh? Eventually everybody wants to pair up or something.
Yeah.
That's our nature, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see. Maybe somebody will come along. But in the meantime, I'm very happy.
But so like they said, you've just got out of a long...
That's true.
And it's a divorce. And it's always different. It's different from just a normal breakup when you're married.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
So I know after all this time, you want to get it out of your system and everything.
Right.
That's true, yeah. We'll see. Yeah, I guess you never say never, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I said before I wasn't going to get married again, and I did. I also said I wasn't going to open any more businesses, and I have, so... Go figure, you know.
So it's inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. Never say never. You never know.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I went, bought some more equipment for the bike. So now I've got like What have I got? I mean, everything, like padded underwear and,
wow,
and things like that. Now I ordered like another seat because, you know, the main problem I have with riding the bike is your ass hurts when you ride it.
Yeah, comfortable.
Right. So I bought like a sort of like a padding for the seat, but it's not helping. It's supposed to be like old gel and everything,
right,
you know. Not helping at all. So I'm taking that back. I ordered like a wider seat and the reviews were great. You know, this guy writes there, hey, I'm 250 pounds and,
wow,
you know, and I'm able to enjoy the ride and stuff. So apparently a lot of people have the same thing where it hurts your butt, you know. That's why you get like the padded underwear and things like that, you
know. Yeah, and especially if you're going on longer rides, it just gets uncomfortable.
Yeah, it really does, you know. Mm-hmm. So you try to lean on the handlebars more and then you get like, you know.
Backache.
Like, yeah, and blisters and stuff. So I got... I got gloves too.
Nice.
You know, so
you're fully equipped.
I'm fully equipped. Yeah. Now I just need to ride more.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I really enjoy it. I try to go every day. I mean, over the weekend, I went twice on the same day. And it just depends on what I'm doing that evening.
Right.
So tonight I'm going to put in a nice ride, I think. And I'm looking for like riding clubs and stuff in town. Mm-hmm.
But do I'm they have any?
They do, but you know what? Many of them, or the ones I've seen online, are like for like long rides, like 30 miles, you know, 50 miles. I'm like, I can't do that.
That's a long way.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going that much. To me, biking is just like riding around, cruising, enjoying myself,
right,
you know. And I know there's things like that, you know. I knew somebody who did this, like once a week, I think they would get together at midnight and ride across town and stuff. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
You should start your own club.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
That likes to ride.
Craigslist and stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe I would do that. Because I bet you'd be fun to ride with people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. But now I'm getting... First I said I'm not going to ride at night. But then it's like I'm thinking it's so fun to ride at night. You know, it's quiet, it's cool and everything. So I bought some lights and stuff. Now I'll put lights on the front and the back. So this thing is going to be like a Harley Davidson soon, you know. I've got everything on
You're
it.
You're the most equipped cyclist I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You got it all.
I know. That's the way I am. When I find something new, I dive into it.
You go all out.
All out, you know.
I can tell.
But it's good. You know, that's why I was also able to open up businesses because mm-hmm. I really get into it. I start reading all about it.
Yeah.
And I research it and all that stuff, you know. So.
See, I'm kind of the opposite, I guess. When I bought my rollerblades, I didn't want to buy any of the pads because I was like, it's just a waste of money. So I just bought the rollerblades. If I fall, I'm going to hurt myself.
Oh, my God.
So far, so good.
Good, good. They don't want you to hurt yourself. I mean, hurting your knees is terrible.
Yeah, and I've heard people that have broken their wrists rollerblading. But
yeah.
I'm a cautious person.
Yeah.
Good. I like to think. But...
Well,
yeah,
good, good. Just be careful. I had to get the helmet. I hate helmets. I hate hats.
But exactly. I'm rollerblading down by the beach. But
right.
On the road, it's
on
a completely different
exactly.
story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so that's why I got that little mirror for the helmet, too. And we'll see how that works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I want to feel safe, you know. I don't
right.
want to feel in. So from the few times I already... road, I realized that, hey, I need this and I need that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they have those flashing lights at night, so you can't miss them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely what you need at night.
Yeah, I know. So it's cool to ride around here, and I'm here to say that, you know, if you feel you need exercise and you hate the gym or you hate running or you hate exercising, whatever... Get something that you enjoy, you know.
Right.
Go swimming or something. Swimming is enjoyable, right?
It's a really good workout.
Yeah, it's a great workout. It's enjoyable. You don't really strain your bones and stuff like mm-hmm. you do when you run. Or, you know, when you do spinning and stuff, that's pretty stressful on the body,
right.
on the body too. But get a bike if you like to be outdoors, you know. I mean, obviously people that are outdoors are more active anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, get outdoors, you know, get yourself a bike, ride around the neighborhood. Yeah, in addition, I got a car rack for the a bike rack for the car. Yeah, it's right here. I need to take it with me. And then, then I can go to parks and the beach and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So you can see I already probably spent on equipment more than I did on the bike.
Right.
Yeah,
have you decided you're going to drill a hole to put a water bottle in?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I had to tell you this because I was thinking about it. When I went home, I looked at it. And sure enough, there are two screws there already in there. And I can't see any function to them other than probably to help
hold.
You hook the
yeah.
bottle. And there's two of them on both sides of the frame.
So it's perfect for when you just have to get one that fits
right.
the right.
Yeah, and I think they all fit the same. That's why they put the screws there at about the same
yeah.
length and stuff.
There you
know?
Go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I know. Okay, well, here's our guest, so we're going to go ahead and answer that. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Sherry Myers?
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Sherry. How are you?
Good. Who am I speaking to? Well,
this is Sam and Charlotte.
Hi, Sam and Charlotte. Are
Hi.
You the host?
Yeah. We're yes. the hosts. Didn't they tell you?
Well, you know what's funny? They didn't uh-huh. give me your name, so now I know. Hi, Sam and Charlotte.
There you go. And you probably didn't realize you were calling right into the show, but we try to put that in the notes.
No, so I didn't know that did. Either. So.
Yeah. But that's okay. Now that
Here we are.
Now that we've established the phone relationship, we can move on, right?
Right.
Sherry, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, you are here. Awesome.
I am here, yes.
Oh, okay. Are you a native Angeleno, or did you move from somewhere else?
No, born and raised.
Wow.
And so was my father, born here. So I'm a double native.
Wow.
You don't
there
hear
you
that
go.
Very often.
No, not at
I
all.
Know.
You know, everybody's from somewhere else. So so this is cool. So, Sherry, you're into dating, relationships, things like that. And,
well, my doctorate's in psychology,
okay.
and I've been a licensed marriage and family therapist for over 25 years.
Oh, wow. So you definitely know what you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. It helps when people know what they're talking about. You know, sometimes people don't. So
they pretend to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody becomes a therapist, you know. I have this, childhood friend who were friends on Facebook now. This guy was like in advertising or something. One day I'm seeing him inviting me to his page, you know, marriage and relationship counselor. I'm like, where did you get that? You know, you know, I don't think he had a day of training in his life, you know. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, probably he said coach then, because coach doesn't have any regulations. Anyone can say they're a coach
okay.
and hang a shingle.
I
therapist,
see.
If they're saying therapist, that usually implies they have some schooling under their belt.
Right.
Interesting. So when you're a coach, you aren't necessarily trained to be an expert in the field?
Well, you're self-proclaimed. I mean, there right. are now coaching schools. So for people who are truly serious and sincere, you can go learn how to be a licensed coach. But it's a new field, and there's no, for example, California licensure. I'm licensed in the state of California.
Right.
So, and I had to go through 3,000 hours of internship, and I had to go through a written test, and then orals, and then, so there's a lot of commitment and schooling that goes behind my license.
Right.
Coaching, not exactly, but I think in time, that will be regulated as well.
Yeah, that sounds good, yeah. Now, Sherry, you called to talk to us a little bit about relationships and social media and phones and technology and so forth. And we wanted to get your angle of that. But first, I see you're an author of a book called Chatting or Cheating, How to Detect Infidelity, Rebuild Love, and Fair-Proof Your Relationship. Wow, that's a tall order there. When did this book come out?
The book did come out. It's already out.
Yeah.
And it came out in March 2012.
Okay.
And it's really one of the first books of its kind, because it's all about how easy it is, because of technology, to cheat. And even for people who never thought that they would cheat, they get captured and addicted to technology and get pulled in. And I call that emotional sex. And even today, what we're talking about is how technology is screwing up so many relationships. Over 30% of divorce decrees have the word Facebook in it.
Really?
Because we're spending way too much time with our online friends and not enough time with our real life partners.
Right.
And we can get our needs like immediately met, and there's a dopamine surge that happens every time we take out our phone or we get an email or we connect with someone online. And I think it's very, very dangerous because our brains are not yet ready for all this stimulation.
Right. And there's a lot of stimulation, you know, and it's interesting you brought this up because I'm having trouble getting myself to go to sleep, not lying in bed and not being able to sleep, but I get like so attached to the computer, you know, at night and stuff that I have to force myself to finally go to bed at 3 o'clock. And it really bothers me, but I'm not successful in stopping that. So I can totally relate to what you're saying.
Well, it's because we get so hungry and addicted, and brain chemicals are
right.
The brain chemicals get released from the excitement of being online and being stimulated is very much like dopamine. And dopamine is a risk-taking hormone that, or it's when we first fall in love, dopamine flows through our body. It gives us a surge where we want more and more and more, and it feels more and more exciting or like we can't let go. And that's what's happening with our relationship with our smartphones, with texting, with our computers. And whether it be that you're an information junkie and you just want more and more information, or you just can't stay on top of all the emails. I know I personally have, I think, 10 different email accounts.
Wow.
For my businesses, for personal, for... I don't know how I got so many, but they all get email.
Right.
And I'm getting text all the time. And it used to be, like, when we just had phones and voicemail, you know, when you get to the phone and when... Or when we even had answering machines, you know, it was... You return the call once you kind of got home and pressed the button and listened to your answering machine. And then came voicemail. So you could call in voicemail at any time, but you still had to kind of call in. Now there's an expectation of immediate responsiveness.
That's true, yeah.
And it makes us edgy. It makes us edgy, and it makes us impatient. I don't know about you, but I'm a lot less patient than I used to be. Are you guys, like, have you noticed how technology is affecting your patience and your tolerance?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know.
I've never thought about it.
Yeah. I know that, you know, when you were saying that how we're like information junkies and stuff, that's what I feel, you know. And and I think with this technology also, I often think about this, that there's no longer like night and day. It's just a 24-hour day. Everything is available 24 hours. You can do, you can buy things, you can socialize, you can flirt, you can do whatever you want 24/7. You know, so.
And you know what? If you're alone and this is your relationship, you know, with your computer, it's not a problem. But if you've got a family and you've got a partner, it's a big problem.
It is.
So what are some of the things in the book that you address to kind of get away from this? To get your relationship on track and not be so led by the internet?
Well, it's important to feed your relationship with yourself and with your partner with the three A's, attention, appreciation, and affection, because relationships thrive or starve really based on those three elements. If we're not feeding each other with at least some quality attention, where we look in each other's eyes, that we are with each other without distractions, where we talk to each other, where we play and we have fun with each other.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you're not together. You know, you don't feel like you're close anymore.
That's
and
true.
Appreciation is noticing the small things and saying thank you, because sometimes we start taking each other for granted. Oh, they'll be there, or yeah, that's their job and this is what I do, and you never even say thank you. So it's noticing the small stuff and being grateful, because anytime you are grateful, even for the small things in your life, your heart opens. I think technology, we're closing our hearts. We're all becoming these big heads. And our heart needs feeding as well. And gratitude, not only for your partner, but for, like, looking, I'm looking out my window right now, and it's so beautiful to see the trees, and I feel grateful. One, for this window, and two, to have this beautiful view that fills me so. It's noticing in the moment and appreciating the good in your life and the good in your partner and the good in what you both have together. And affection. Affection isn't only having sex. Often we wait for sex to have affection, but if you're on the computer till 3 a.m., good luck.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
Everyone's going to be too tired.
That's
you know?
Right,
and,
yeah.
Or if you've given too much attention and elsewhere, by the time you get home, you're tired.
Right.
You just want to, like, turn on the tube, or there's no affection. So affection is, you know, when you're driving in the car, maybe at every red light, kissing. What, through the red light, or making sure you touch each other when you're in the same room together. It can be small things, but it's going, hey, I love you, I notice you, I think of you, I love touching you. It doesn't always have to lead to sex. Affection is just caring and touching and being affectionate with your words and with your touch. It doesn't take a lot of time to feed your relationship, but it does take consciousness, and it does take getting off the internet, and it does take putting your phone away when you're having dinner together so that you can pay attention to each other.
That's true. You know, that's one thing about the phones that always bothers me is, like, you know, when you're with someone and they're on the phone. Now, I understand, you know, urgent calls, emergency calls, somebody calls you and you know, it's going to be urgent or something. I get that. But when people just, you know, just talk or even text when you're with them, it's very rude, because to me it feels like, I'm sitting here with you. I should be more important than the person who's not right here with us. So let them wait rather than let me wait.
Absolutely, Sam.
Yeah.
Or worse, and I notice this when I go out to dinner, is a lot of couples have their smartphones on the table. And they're kind of looking at each other and talking, but then looking down at their smartphone to see what text just came in or what email.
Yeah.
Or they pretend to be on it together looking at stuff. But they're not looking at each other. They're not talking to each other. And they're not really being with each other. So one important thing is, make sure you have technology timeouts. And this is true of family, too. You know, so many families sit together and the kids are, you know, playing their games on their phones or texting, or they have their iPads. No one's talking to each other anymore. No one is making contact. And I think that's the danger of technology. Now, you can use technology to spice up your relationship. I'm not saying that phones are bad or technology is bad, because it's so incredible. It's just being able to know how not to be swept up and swept away, where everything else goes down the drain because you're so addicted to your technology.
Right.
So one way to use technology to spice up your relationship is just send a text to your partner going, I'm thinking of you. Or you can start flirting with each other earlier before you get together. You can use, you know, call your partner. You can use tech. You can forward things to them and that you think they might like. Because they're all ways to go, I'm thinking of you. They're all ways that we can give our partner and our partnership attention. So if you're on technology and you use technology, minimally use some of that time to connect with your partner.
Why do you think that people are so caught up in technology now?
Because it's really addictive. And it makes you zone out. And because it gives you immediate gratification, as Sam was saying, 24/7, logging on can bring you relief to feelings of loneliness, stress, boredom. And it's an unlimited source of entertainment and stimulation. Anytime, any place, I know when I go out to eat, and if I'm alone, it's me and my phone.
Right.
So it really does fill in the space. I almost wonder now, and it was only a few years ago, you know, what did I do before I had my smartphone
right.
to be with? You know, I read books, or I drove on the freeway, and the most I had is music on, you know.
Like, right, right.
Now, you know, it's almost like that phone and all that information is constantly competing for attention.
Yeah.
And it is draining. It's draining to our psyche, and it's draining to our soul.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, I spend most of that time working and stuff, but I do connect with people on Facebook. I do take the breaks and so forth. But I think that's also not good, is to work too much, you know. And I totally understand that, and I get it. But, you know, now I just started another business. So sometimes it requires that. But it's not really healthy, I think, for the body at all. To
In
be
the old
so-
days, you know, we went to work. And we worked, let's say, 9 to 5. Or if we were a hard worker, you know, 9 to 7. But then you came home. And you were home.
Right.
Maybe you'd bring some work in your briefcase home, but really, your work was done. Now, because a lot of our work's on the internet, we can work 24/7.
Yeah.
Or we could be thinking about work. Or we can, like, be in the middle. It could be middle of the night, we have a thought, and we jump up, and we work, you know, because we don't want to miss it. Or, you know, let me send myself a note to check this out in the morning.
Yeah.
We're addicted. We're addicted, and in order to break the addiction, there's, I think, four steps or four things that we need to do. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. One is you need to build up your real-life social life and have plans that get you away from your computer and out of the house.
Exactly. I agree with that one, you know, and I think that's a problem with the kids as well these days. They don't go out and play as much.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to.
Yeah.
Because your source of entertainment is right there. Or they get together, but they're on their phones.
Right. Everybody does their own thing.
I know. It's crazy.
It really is, crazy. You know. And I mean, I remember the days before cell phones completely. And, I mean, we would talk. We would socialize and stuff. And now people, and not even that, but, you know, sometimes I realize, you know, I go and I pick up something to eat and I wait. You know, other people are waiting. Everybody's on the phone. And sometimes I'm just like, why am I looking at the phone? Let me just kind of like enjoy people watch and things like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you gotta take your eyes off the phone. And I'm pretty good with that. With the phone, I'm good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. Sherry.
The other thing is what, yes.
No, go ahead.
Okay. The other thing is set goals and stick to them. So, like you were talking about earlier, Sam, that sometimes you're up or often you're up till 3 a.m. on the computer. So let's say you set the goal at 11 p.m. every night, I will turn off my computer, come hell or high water.
Right.
You got to stick to it. And you got to stick to it for 21 days.
Oh, no, that's how you build a habit?
It's how you build a habit, and it's how you break the addiction. And it's how you build trust within yourself, because you're a man or woman of your word.
Right. Hmm. Wow, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So, Sherry, just a couple of words on the chatting or cheating. Is this book available everywhere, or should they go
it
to
is.
Your website?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon are the main distributors of it, but you can get it in any bookstore.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure they can order it if they don't carry it.
Sounds
good. And chatting or cheating is really about how to, you know, one, to identify if you are addicted and if you are prone to cheating, or if your partner is cheating on you, how to identify, what to do, how to confront, how to confess, and most importantly, how to rebuild your relationship to make it stronger and affair proof so cheating doesn't happen in your relationship.
Right.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Now, So you said it's a lot easier now with technology and everything, and you know, I can see how it can affect relationships and stuff. But do you think that the technology causes some of this infidelity? I mean, you know, is this something that wouldn't happen if we didn't have the technology? I mean, people would still cheat, but
I think infidelity's been around for ever.
Right.
You know, as long as relationships. You know?
Right.
And relation, you know, socially, different cultures have different values about what is infidelity and what is not. So it's not that technology has caused cheating. It's just made it easier.
Right.
You don't have to build relationships at the water cooler anymore with a coworker. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait till the next day to run into that person. You know, you meet somebody, you start texting, you start emailing, you start sending each other poems or however the seduction is happening. You meet on Facebook and, hey, there's a billion other people who are friends. We're just friends. But you start thinking about them more and more, and you're starting to become a little secretive at home about how much time you're spending online, or you start tracking that person and kind of looking for all their posts and making sure you like them, and you start wondering, God, what would life be like with this person? I mean, they're so cool or beautiful or handsome or wonderful, or, you know, because they're not dealing with the day-to-day stress, they're your relief. Mm-hmm. And you start sharing some intimacy with them, and you start spending time online just to kind of connect with them. That's where we get drawn in. You never have to leave home. Your kids could be watching TV. Your husband could be right in the next room. And you could be starting to cheat or beginning to cheat, because emotional affairs are more dangerous than even physical affairs.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. So you say
really that, sad.
Yeah. So if someone, if they don't even act on it, but if they're just, you're saying in their mind, or they're
connecting with someone.
Yeah, but connecting with someone online. You're saying that's cheating too.
Let's clarify this.
Okay.
It's not connecting with someone online. We can connect all the time. We can have fun. You know what? We can even flirt a little bit.
Right.
It's how much is it draining your relationship?
Oh.
How much are you beginning to spend, how much time are you spending online or wanting to connect with another person versus your partner? How disconnected are you at home? How honest are you being with your partner about your friendships online? How much of an open book are you with your partner?
Right.
If you are becoming secretive, if you're starting to share more and more intimacy with this person online and less with your partner, and if there's sexual chemistry, you're wondering what they'd like be like in bed, you're kind of going, they're so cute, you're feeling that little search, you know, kind of thrill at,
right.
that we do with
mm-hmm.
that new love feeling, then you are crossing the line.
Right. It's like, you know, with sexting and everything, I think it's,
yes.
like once you cross that line, like you said, it's,
yeah.
I think in your mind, you don't have to do the actual physical act. And I think it's, this especially bothers women, because
yeah.
they know, because yeah, I don't know if it's true or not for most women, but sometimes I hear, you know, that it's worse when the male partner is emotionally involved than if they just have sex with a person, with the person they're cheating with. So,
right.
yeah.
I've heard that a lot. I mean,
yeah.
it feels more like a betrayal,
right.
that the man loved the other woman,
right.
more so than had sex.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some ways, I mean, a lot of women don't forgive infidelity on any level.
Right.
But we can kind of rationalize, well, men are dogs, and it's just sex.
Right.
If a man says it was just, I'm so sorry, it was just sex.
Right.
I love you. I don't know. There we were. I was traveling, blah, blah, blah. A woman can find, some women, a lot of women can find their way around
right.
that. But if it's been a continual affair and there, you know, you find emails and texts that proclaim your love, that becomes like the ultimate betrayal. Conversely, men who don't like to share their property
right.
can almost forgive a woman for falling in love
yeah.
online with someone else or whatever than
right.
being physically touched by them.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that's one of the main differences between men and women. And,
mm-hmm.
Okay, well, go ahead and promote. Do you have a website, Cherry?
I do. I have two. One is chattingorcheating.com, okay. And you can get a free chapter of my book, and there's lots of videos, helpful videos, so if anyone is in a situation where they're suspicious their partner might be cheating or their partner has cheated and they want help, there's a lot of free videos and information and articles to access. And my other website is drsherry.com, drsherry.com. And that has, once again, other kinds of great videos that are helpful. And you can also get a free chapter of my book and some other free gifts on drsherry.com.
Very cool.
Great.
And if people want to have sessions with you and stuff, contact information on the website?
Yeah, they can connect
Sounds
via the
good.
Website.
Sounds good. Sherry Myers, thank you so much for all this information. I mean, it's always fascinating for us to talk about relationships. And, you know, obviously, you know, technology can help and it can hurt as well. Mm-hmm. So I think at least we clarified some of these things. And thank you so much for that. Maybe you can come into the studio and again and we'll talk about it more.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
You too,
thank
Sherry.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, relationships, I'm telling you. There's no end to it, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think the desire for people to want to cheat is ever going to die.
Yeah.
Whether there's technology or not. I think some people are just wired that way and they never have enough.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing if you don't subject your partner to anything, you know? And, excuse me. I feel if you want to be with other people, go ahead and end your relationship first.
Exactly.
And then go, because it's, you know, it's like trying to have your cake and eat it too, type of a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. You never have enough and you want everything.
Everything.
It's a greedy mentality. But definitely, I mean, if you have to end what you're doing first and then go into something else.
Right. You know, I mean, be single, but don't go and cheat on people, mm-hmm. because... It's a very painful thing, you know. I mean, I haven't had anybody cheat on me, or at least that I know, for many years. But when I was much younger, in my teens, I experienced that, and it was very painful.
Yeah.
You know, and like she said, especially for guys, because there's a certain amount of possessiveness there, you mm-hmm. know, with guys and stuff. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, don't touch my woman type of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I don't know if you didn't see this yesterday because you left early, but I left with our guests and the guy that was with them, the photographer, mm-hmm. was apparently in a relationship with Laurel.
Yes, I
didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he made clear that I knew that when we left, you know, and he sort of made a joke about it. But I could tell it was that total alpha male trying to assert their place, you know. And, you know, maybe he felt I was going to do something or start something with her. But although I was tempted to, but I don't do that to the guests, you know. Let them try and develop something if they're interested. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, guests are guests, you know. You bring them here and you respect them and whatever happens. But it's true, I think, with men, it's like that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's funny. Okay, so much for that. And let's see, there's a few things in the news. You know, I mean, there's this big debate right now about these kids that are crossing the border.
Yeah.
And, you know, and trying to stay here and stuff illegally. Mm-hmm. And
have you seen on the news the boards that they're paddling on?
No.
To get across the border?
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
They have paddle boards and stuff?
Well, they're not paddle boards. They're just, it's like a crate.
Okay.
That they're just trying to get over the border on.
Oh, really?
It's crazy. Yeah.
What, on water or on sand?
Yeah, on
or,
water.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did they come here? Did they come by water? I thought most of them come through Mexico, but I guess some don't, huh?
But I think they're trying, because now the security's gotten so strict on the border on land, on Mexico, so now they're trying to get through.
Water and stuff, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's sort of like, it's pathetic on their parents' part, I think, you know, to send their kids like this. I mean, look, I understand that they're looking for a better future for their kids, but this is not the way to do this, yeah. You know? You're sending them, you don't know what's going to happen to mm-hmm. them. You know, it's one thing when you send your kid to another country and there's family there, or
right.
or if the kid's older and they're not a kid anymore, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But to send
when
young
they're young
kids
and have
here,
to find their own
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I mean, kids as young, I think, as 12 or even younger, are being sent here. And it's amazing, you know. I mean, there's just so many of them.
Right. And how do you function and build a life when you're that young? You have no idea.
Yeah, so they're going to become a burden on this country, and you know it.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people are opposing that. And I'm saying also, you know, do something to keep them from coming in, because it's going to become an epidemic. What do you do with all these people? They can't sustain themselves. They can't fend for themselves or support themselves.
No. And they're going to get into a job, some kind of manual labor job that...
Right. That's illegal.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
And it's really sad.
So it is sad, you know. And I mean, it's a... A humanitarian nightmare, but mm-hmm. but we have to do something about this. And I think if there's a deterrent, if their parents know that they won't be able to get in or they'll be turned back, they're not going to send them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing, is that
but
we're too forgiving,
do.
Right?
Yeah.
We're a we're you know a developed, advanced country and a democratic country, and we don't We're not fans of mistreating people and stuff, you know, or throwing people out.
Exactly. That's the problem. That
yeah.
it's when people come in, it's kind of, it's not really the idea of throwing people
right.
out on the streets in America.
Right.
It's
that's
like,
why
well, we'll try and make room.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes the immigration gives amnesty to people and stuff, you know, just so mm-hmm. So they can, you know, and all the they talk about like benefits, like schooling and stuff for immigrants' children. For illegals,
yeah,
education and things like that, driver's license, you know, and yeah, and people seem to forget that many of those are here illegally,
yeah,
and we're just like enabling them, we're helping them out,
right,
and all that does is that it's the opposite of a deterrent. People go, oh, I can go there and stay, I mm-hmm. can go there illegally and stay, and that's a problem. That creates a problem. So I don't know. So what do you think? You think they should turn them back?
That's, I don't know. It's kids, so it's
yeah.
such a hard subject. But I think they belong with the families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, and I mean, to me, I don't know. To me, it's an abandonment on the parents' part.
Right. That's why I think
it really
they,
is.
Yeah.
You
and
don't
if it's
send
16,
the kid.
17, they send them, it's different from 12.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, look, my parents, my dad, let's say it was more his decision, sent me out here when I was 16. But I stayed with family.
Right.
And I had a place to go and I went to school and I wasn't illegal either. But you know what? I still view that as abandonment in a certain way. And I mean, you know, therapists have confirmed that, because you don't just send your kid to another country. You don't do that. I mean, especially in their formative years, if it's not like a refugee situation,
yeah.
you just don't do it.
Right.
It's not, you know, I had to grow up very fast because of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So it's a tough thing to figure out, but what can you do? You know, somebody has to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's a tough situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oscar Pistorius is back in the news, where he got in a brawl at a nightclub while he's out on bail.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
somebody must have, like, really heckled him or something, huh?
Yeah. He was in the VIP section, and he got evicted after he got in an altercation. I guess some guy was talking smack, and
right.
Pistorius started pushing him. And then, but then he is the one that got pushed over and fell to the ground.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, his family said it was unwise.
Duh, of him stay
to do
home,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
you
out
don't
on
do
bail.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is sad. UK police arrested 660 suspected pedophiles.
Wow.
After online operation. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people that are into child porn, and that's, you know, and that's just the people that they caught this time around in this operation.
660?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot of people. They're saying that at least, what they say, about 45 of them were, no, not 45, but I don't know. They said a certain percentage were repeat offenders and stuff, you know. They're already...
They've already been charged.
They've been charged before and stuff. Yeah. And now they do this again.
Well, I think when you do something like that, it's like your brain's wired that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you don't... It's not something you just get into.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think... Yeah, I mean, because they say... I mean, you get like... Social workers, social care workers, former police officers.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. You don't know.
You have no idea.
You have no idea. You go to your doctor. You don't know what he does behind closed doors. You know, he could be a maniac or something.
Yeah, and
I'll bet you some people, like some women, don't even know that their husbands are like that.
Right. I'm sure
some of them are like that, because many times you get child abuse from relatives.
And most of these people, they're very good at hiding and masking.
Yeah.
What they do.
Yeah, because often they threaten the kids and that. But they're saying that more than 400 children have been protected from harm as a result of this. So
it's like Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah.
I think it's his son that's doing an interview with, I believe it's Oprah.
Really?
Within the next, I've seen it advertised. I don't know if it's aired yet, but I've been wanting to watch it because in the advertisement it just says, and then his nightly ritual would start.
Oh, wow.
So obviously he was abused and...
Yeah.
It's just a crazy...
Yeah.
Crazy thing.
A lot of crazy things happening in the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it for today. Another day. The sun's not out yet, but it's making its way out.
It's trying.
From behind the clouds. And I still don't know why we talk about the friggin' weather, other than we have beautiful windows here and we can look outside.
It's such, but imagine such nice listening big windows.
To, yeah, imagine listening to the show like 6 months down the road and going, "Who cares about the weather on July 16th, 17th?" All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.
In morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.